Certainly an honor and a privilege to be here with you today at Grace Truth Church. I want you to know that I pray for you constantly as a church, as my brothers and sisters over here in my hometown of Claxton, Georgia, as I serve over, as James said, at Elza Baptist Church outside of Reidsville. And I covet your prayers for myself and for my church as we continually try to move forward for the gospel, for the glory of God. But all that being said, it is great to be here with you today, longing to preach truth, longing to honor and glorify God by the words that Brother Dave just prayed. Only his words should go forth today. If you will turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Romans, chapter 12. Today we want to talk about acting and reacting, living out the gospel for the glory of God. And as you're turning there to Romans 12, I want you to think about what is it that comes to mind when you think about living out the gospel. Just think about that. I submit to you today, church, that how we act in our lives, how we react to those in our lives, to situations in our lives, defines what the gospel really is to us. How the gospel has really changed us, what has been wrought in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. For that has been born into us by the Holy Spirit of God, it comes out in our everyday lives. Look with me at the scriptures. Romans chapter 12, we'll begin reading in verse 14. The Apostle Paul writes, "Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Never be wise in your own sight. Repay no one evil for evil, but give thought to do what is honorable in the sight of all. If possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God, for it is written, 'Vengeance is mine, I will repay,' says the Lord. To the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink, for by so doing you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good." Let's pray and then we'll preach God's word today. Holy God, thank you so much for the opportunity to be with your people, that we would come together and fellowship with one another around your word, that we long to hear truth, we long to teach truth, and we know that that truth unifies us, as James mentioned earlier. Help us to be unified, not that we would just get along, but that we would get along for what's right. God, teach us now through your word. Hide me behind your cross and use this time for your glory. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In Romans 1:16, Paul defines the gospel as the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes. Everyone who is a true believer in the one true gospel is unified by that gospel. That is what makes us come together and love one another, folks. I mean, it's utterly amazing and astounding to me that the gospel of Jesus Christ, the one true gospel, not a false gospel that many people may rally around or come together for, but the gospel can bring people together from all different backgrounds, all different walks of life, and bring us together. We know that the gospel, folks, is truth. And the fact is that despite all of our differences, our age differences, the difference in race, our economic status, etc., no matter what differences we have, we know that we can come together, that we're unified together in truth. I hope that we know and understand as the body of Christ that in the body of Christ, unity is key. Like James mentioned earlier, some of my folks sometimes, they love each other and care for one another so much, but that love and that care comes out in the way. We don't want anybody to be upset. We don't want nobody to be offended. Well, folks, I've had to show them in the scriptures that Jesus offended people plenty, because they weren't unified with him in the gospel that he preached and that he proclaimed. Jesus himself said in John's Gospel, chapter 13, verse 35, that the world will know who we are by the love that we have for one another. Therefore, I submit to you that we're unified in truth by love. In Romans chapter 12, in verses 4 and 5, we see there where Paul says, "For as in one body we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function, so we, though many, are one body in Christ, and individually members one of another." There, Paul is sharing the message of this unity as we are many members that make up one body. We're all individuals. I acknowledge that each and every one of us here today are unique in who we are. God has made us into beautiful people by the uniqueness that we are made in His image. But as individuals, we come together and we love one another despite where we come from, our differences that we may have. In Ephesians 4, chapter that is known for teaching unity, Paul writes, he says, "Speaking the truth in love, we're to grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined together and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love." Folks, we come together to encourage one another, to lift one another up, to be matured in the faith that Jesus Christ is the head, and as the body we grow up into Him, unified in that. I could continue all day going throughout the Scripture showing you how we're to be unified, but I hope by now you get the point. I hope we understand how we're to be unified, that we are unified in Christ. As been stated so far, that truth is what unifies us in love, as we saw Jesus state in John chapter 13. Yet there's one more thing that truth does other than unify. And that, my friends, the other thing that truth does is that it divides. Why do people outside the body of Christ disagree with you? Why do people outside the body of Christ do wrong to you? Why do people outside the body of Christ persecute you? The answer is simply because their truth isn't your truth. And folks, there's only one truth, and that's Jesus Christ. This is why Jesus says in John 16:33, we have peace in Him. Yet in Matthew 10:34, Jesus says, "I didn't come to bring peace, but a sword, to divide family member against family member." Unbelievers and skeptics alike will say, "Aha, Jesus is a liar. He's contradicting himself." No. Both statements that Jesus made there in Matthew's gospel and in John's gospel are truth. To those who are in Christ, yes, peace. But not only is Christ our peace, He's also the dividing point. He's the line in the sand where when we come to Him and we sing, you either unify yourself with Him or you don't. No contradiction there at all. People are divided by the truth that is Jesus Christ, and as His people, His sheep, His bride, His body, we must stand united on the foundation that is our rock and our Redeemer, Jesus Christ. I shared with my folks this morning in Matthew chapter 7 when Jesus, He likens a man, a wise man, who built his house on a rock, to those who are obedient to His word, to do that they do the things that He says, that He teaches. And so He is the rock that we stand on. He is the rock that our foundation is found on. We see here in Romans 12, 14 through 21, that there are those who will persecute us. There are those who will rejoice, and there are those who will weep. There are those who have difficult economic statuses. They may not be on the same level as us, maybe higher, maybe lower. And there are those also who will hate us. But guess what, folks? Because of the truth that is Jesus Christ, we can act and react to these people in such a way to show them the love of Christ and that our lives will be clear pictures of the gospel of Jesus Christ. No matter what our differences are, whether we're unbelievers or believers, whether we are rejoicing or we're weeping, we're upset, we're whatever we come from, whatever our backgrounds are, we can unite in Christ. And those who do not unite in Christ, we're still called to love them. I think of the rich young ruler where he came and he asked Jesus, "Lord, good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" Jesus said, "You know the commands." He lists off some of them. "Well, Lord, I've done these from since I was a child. I've kept these." Jesus said, "There's one thing you lack. Go and sell everything that you own and give the money to the poor." And he couldn't do it. He walked away sad and dejected. And it says, and Jesus looked on him with love. And so, folks, we love those who are lost. We love those who are unbelievers. And we show that love by sharing truth. Within my church, I have many people who they've had children who have made profession of faith and then grow up and depart. And it's a hard thing to come to the realization that my child is lost. And I said, folks, would you rather your child continue believing in something that they did, a prayer that they prayed as a child that's going to get them into heaven, or would you, in love, share the truth with them? How dare we say that we love our loved ones if we're not willing to share the truth? So, first of all, I want to deal with two things today. I'm used to saying this morning or this evening, this afternoon, I want to deal with two things. First of all, how can we live out the gospel in relation to those who are not in Christ? Unbelievers will persecute the church. They'll disagree with us on many things in life. But the reason that is because they disagree with us on who Christ is, on the truth that is His Word. And our dealings with those who are without Christ, when they do come against us in whatever way, shape, or form, listen, folks, they don't always oppose us to our face. They don't always come against us or want to kill us, like James mentioned earlier. But it's the position of their heart that creates that animosity, that wages that war with us who are in Christ. And so in our dealings with those who are without Christ, Paul makes it clear how we are to act with those and how we are to react to them. First of all, we see it in verse 14. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. Folks, I think about our Lord and Savior as He was on the way to the cross. And I often think about the fact that they beat Him and treated Him so harshly. But the worst thing, the thing that gets me more than anything is the fact that they spit on Him. I mean, I don't know, like, it'd be hard for me to turn the other cheek if somebody spit in my face. But he was focused. He kept the mindset, I'm here to glorify my Father. And then he cried out, Father, forgive them, they don't know what they're doing. Folks, we've got to bless those who come against us in persecution. We don't curse them. We don't act in anger towards them. Our spirits may be angered inside of us, but Paul says in that anger, do not sin. It's frustrating for me as a pastor and as a believer, mainly, to share truth with people and they disagree. Because I want to take them, I want them to shake them, and I want them to get it. I want them to understand. I want them to know truth and love truth. But I can't make them, folks. You can't make them, but you share the truth in love. And if they hate you for doing that, Jesus said, they hated me first. Verse 17. Repay no one evil for evil, but give thought to do what is honorable in the sight of all. When unbelievers come against us and they persecute us or they hate us or they disagree with us, we need to think about our reaction, our response. First of all, we need to think about this sermon today. I hope this word of God, I hope, will make you think prior to these dealings that you have with other believers, but in those occasions when people do come against you and they do wrong to you, they do evil to you, pause. Think a minute. Think about how you should respond in an honorable way. Verse 19. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. Folks, I hope that we trust in the sovereignty of God. We trust that our God alone sits on his throne and that he is in control. And we know and understand that for those who do wrong to us, we pray, folks. We know from reading in 2 Corinthians 5, we've been given the ministry of reconciliation. We desire to reconcile people to Christ, and we desire to reconcile people to us. But it's not always going to happen. And for those people who hate us, who long to kill us, folks, we long for their reconciliation. We long for their salvation. But folks, when they do evil to us, we don't react in such a way that's dishonoring to God. We react in a way that's honoring to him, and he tells us from his word he's going to take care of it. There's a day of judgment where people will deal with an almighty, a holy God. And we must trust in that. Verse 20 continues on. Paul says, to the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him something to drink. For by so doing, you will heap burning coals on his head. Now, when I first read this, and in my ignorance, I thought, well, man, so I'm just supposed to be nice to people to tick them off? Is that what God wants me to do? When you look in the meaning of the text there, folks, when we show the love of Christ to our enemies, to those who come against us, to those who hate us and persecute us, we're praying the whole time for that reconciliation to take place, for them to be reconciled to God, for them to be reconciled to us. And so, folks, when we show them the love of Christ, when we show them patience and kindness and gentleness, and we show them that in Christ we have joy in the midst of their persecution towards us, we pray and hope that they will be shamed by their actions towards us in such a way that the Holy Spirit of God would work on them and bring them to faith and repentance. That is how we should respond to those who hate us. How do we act and react towards our brothers and sisters in the faith? I'm sure if we took the time to do so, we could go around the room and everybody could share stories, testimonies of fellow church members, fellow believers, horror stories where there's been animosity and hate and discord within the body of Christ. And folks, these things ought not be. But we are an imperfect people who trust in a holy God, and we are being sanctified by the Holy Spirit in our lives. But there are times where it's frustrating, it's tough, it's hard to get along within the body of Christ. John Piper says that justified sinners live in relationships and they work hard to make those relationships durable and mutually beneficial. On Wednesday nights at Elza, we're currently doing the study on, it's entitled Basic, We Are Church, and it's led as a video series by Francis Chan, and one of the men in my church is leading it. He's facilitating that study. And the first two sessions deal with fellowship, unity. And the main thing that I took away from that study so far as a pastor is that folks, I mean, and think about this in your own lives personally. When you come together as Grace Truth Church, when you come together as the body of Christ, I hope that you don't come seeking what you can benefit from this time together. Although you do benefit from this time together. our attitudes, our mindset should be, I want to go together with my brothers and sisters to serve them in love. We're not a consumerist church. We don't come because of what we can get or what we won't get, although we do get when we come. We're taught from the Word of God. We're encouraged. We're exhorted by our brothers and sisters in the faith. So we don't join a local church for what we can get out of it, although we are greatly benefited. We are a part of a local body to glorify God and lovingly serve one another. You look in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 25. Paul shares with the church, acknowledging that they had put away falsehood. He says to them, since you put away falsehood. What he's saying there is, since you're in the truth, since you're no longer in the dark, you're in the light, God, by His great mercy and grace, has brought us out of darkness into marvelous light. And we're no longer filled with lies. We know truth. We know Jesus. So in Romans 12, we see that as a family, the unified body of Christ, we deal with one another in these ways. Verse 15, rejoice with those who rejoice, weep with those who weep. Folks, when our brothers and sisters are hurting, they're family. And so when they're hurting, we hurt. Yet we always rejoice in all things, because we know that all things work together for good for those who love God and are called according to His purpose. Even the worst second, of the worst minute, of the worst hour, of the worst day of your life, God is working it for your good. But when our brothers and sisters are hurting, we hurt with them. And when they rejoice, we rejoice with them. I told Jesse I was a little angry at James because I couldn't be at Jesse's baptism this morning, because I wanted to be there to rejoice with my brother in this time. That's okay. I repent and get over it. And so we're glad when our brothers and sisters are glad. We rejoice with them when they rejoice, but we hurt when they hurt. Verse 16. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Folks, if we show partiality, we don't understand what God in Christ has done for us. If we think different of certain brothers and sisters because they're not exactly the same of us as us, we've missed it. We've completely missed it. We must not show partiality. We must show peace. That despite all our differences, like I shared at the beginning, that despite all of our differences, we are united in truth that is Jesus Christ. And in that, in Him, we come together. We are all one in Christ. Verses 17 and 18. You say, Luke, you've already shared with us verse 17. Yeah, well, I believe that this verse can pertain to relationships within and without of the fellowship. See, there he says, repay no one evil for evil, but give thought to do what is honorable in the sight of all. Folks, when our brothers and sisters, you know, or us, when we're struggling with one another, maybe a little discord there, maybe a little frustration, because that little bit of selfishness creeps in and things aren't being done how we want it to be done, so we pitch a fit a little bit. We can't be so naive to think that our brothers and sisters won't hurt us, won't disappoint us from time to time. They may come against us in disagreement, but when this occurs, show them the love of Christ by being obedient to Him and work it out. There's no reason, folks. Let me say it this way. If we think there's a reason that we can't work it out, we need to think about the reason that we can work it out. I know there's little differences here and there, but when we're obedient to what Jesus says, Matthew 18, Another place is about coming back together and working it out. When we're obedient to that, the Holy Spirit will work it out. And then we see that we're to do what is honorable. Like I said a while ago, pause for just a minute. Think about, hey, what is it that's honorable? How is it that I'm to respond in this situation that will bring honor and glory to Christ? And then we notice there, we do see in verse 18, Paul says, if possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Paul acknowledges here by saying, if possible, that there are some times when we're not able to live peaceably with one another. But reading that scripture doesn't give us the excuse to say, well, Paul says it's not always possible, so forget them. We want to strive. We don't use that as a cop-out, or we don't just shrug off those disagreements. As Christians, we must be obedient to the Word of God in dealing with our disagreements. I'm thankful for Grace Truth Church in that there was a time in my life, as James said, we are cousins. James has been and I'm not doing this to blow his head up, but I am thankful for James in that there was a season, a time in my life as working in ministry, I was so frustrated by discord and hate within the church. I told James several times, I said, man, I'd rather go flip burgers. I'd rather go work with my dad doing construction than deal with people on a daily basis who say they're my brother and yet they hate me. And I always wanted James, I've been honest with you, I always wanted him to say, well, brother, quit. Praise God, he was faithful to the Word, and he showed me what the Word says about how we're supposed to deal with these things. And we know that when we're faithful, we must endure because Christ holds us in. And so when dealing with disagreements, folks, do what the Word of God says. Do what is required of you to the fullest extent. Don't just shrug it off. Fight for your brothers and sisters. Not with, but for. Fight for them. In verse 21, Paul says, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. This is a summation of the last several verses. As Christians, we know that we're not overcome by evil. We trust that God is holding us for that day when we'll be glorified with Him, with our brothers and sisters as we see Him on the last day and share eternity with one another. So we know we're not overcome by evil. We trust in what Christ has done for us on the cross, and then 3 days later, raising Himself from the dead. But how can we overcome evil with good? Well, first I'd submit to you because Jesus Christ has overcome evil because He is good. And noticing that, let's look back in Romans chapter 12, verse 1. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God. And then look in verse 6. Having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us. Folks, we define grace as unmerited favor, the fact that we were separated from holy God, and that by His grace, He showed us favor. Not because of anything that we've done or could do or would do, but just because of His grace. We didn't earn it. I would like to define mercy as unmerited relief. We don't get what we deserve. So folks, this is how God has treated us in Jesus Christ. He has given us grace. He's given us mercy. We deserve the wrath of God. God had mercy. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. We didn't deserve God's favor. God gave grace. In Ephesians 1, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. God blessed us when we didn't deserve to be blessed. And so, folks, the same mercy and the grace, not that we can't share it to the same extent that God has shared it with us, but we practice showing mercy and grace to those who are lost and to our brothers and sisters. And so I ask you today, are you practicing giving people what they don't deserve? As Jesse shared a while ago as we were standing out front, none of us deserve to hear the truth, but God shared truth. So are you practicing giving people what they don't deserve? Are you showing them the mercy of God, the grace of God? And how are you dealing with your fellow believers? I heard James mention a while ago the covenant, the fact that you come together and you agree as to who you are, what you believe, and what you're doing here together as the body of Christ. Take hold of that, folks. Be thankful that you can be a part of a body that is in agreement on all things. And how are you dealing with those that are lost? Your day-to-day relationships with people that you come in contact with. Maybe they're your loved ones. Maybe they're family members. Maybe they're acquaintances. How do you deal with them? How we deal with people is a clear reflection of the gospel that we believe in. And so I guess the best question to ask today is, what is the gospel to you? What is the gospel to you? I hope we have one answer for that. Because that's what we're unified in. And that's how we act and react towards others. May the word of God continue to teach, reprove, correct, and train us in righteousness until the day of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Holy God, thank you for this precious time to open up your word. God, I pray that the message was clear, that it will continue to resound in our hearts, in our lives, for the rest of our lives. That the Holy Spirit that resides in us, whom you sent to bring about new life in our hearts, I pray that that new life would be evident to those around us, to our brothers and sisters in the faith, and to those who do not know Jesus Christ as their Lord and as their Savior. God, give us a heart to unify in truth. Give us a heart to be obedient to your every word, to your every command. And Father, may we love our brothers and sisters, and may we love those that are lost with the same love that you loved us with and that you continue to love us with. Lord, thank you for your grace. We know that it is sufficient in all things. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.